Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Today's episode of the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. When it's time to get a new window or a new door, you got to go with Pella. Why? Because they can provide window and door solutions to any home, and because the people are fantastic. Brian, Clint, Steve, Vince, the whole gang, everybody's great. And you know what's also great? The fact that you're going to be working with Pella the entire time. Did you realize, I didn't know this, that when you work with some other window companies, all of a sudden questions are popping up like, who's installing this? Who's provisioning this? Who's doing that? Who's doing this? And before you know it, you're working with like four or five different people. Massive disaster, massive headache. You want the convenience and simplicity of working with one company, not three or four. That is Pella. Check them out on the web, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. All right, on today's pod, Johnny Atawa, Omaha World Herald, Creighton basketball beat writer. It has been an eventful week for Creighton hoops with a bunch of different things going down. Davion Mintz announces that he is leaving to grad transfer. Then he announces that he's going to Kentucky. Tyshawn Alexander announces that he's entering the NBA draft, testing the waters, but not hiring an agent. But according to Jeff Goodman, it sounds like he's going to remain in the draft. Like, there's just a bunch of different stuff. Creighton gets a Duke transfer and Alex O'Connell. There's just been a million different stories. But the big one is the Tyshawn news, and there's a lot to discuss on that front. So I grabbed the old iPhone, I hit up Johnny Atawa and said, you want to break this down with your boy? And of course, John is always gracious with his time, and he knows the team so well, covers the program, wanted to pick his brain. So let's get to it, man. We cover all the different angles of all the different things happening in Creighton's offseason. So here is my podcast conversation with Creighton beat writer, Omaha World Herald, John Atawa. Well, his name is John Atawa. He covers Creighton for the Omaha World Herald. Also does the Half Court Press podcast with Chris Hetty. Talk a lot of Creighton and Nebraska ball hoops on that pod. But right now he joins me on my pod. John, this should be like everyone's bored, quarantined, social distancing, nothing going on. But this has been like a crazy week in the world of Creighton basketball. You've been busy, man.
I know. You think the season ends and that's your moment to exhale.
Right.
But I think if you talk to any college coach, they'd be like, are you serious? It's about as busy in April. Well, I guess we got a jump start on this because of the coronavirus. The off season started a couple weeks early, but right. Normally April is as news filled as like February and March. So yeah, it's been busy. And you know, I feel like the last few years at Creighton, there's been a coaching change,
right?
As part of the assistant coaching ranks as well in the midst of player movement. So, I mean, knock on wood, it seems like the staff's intact at this moment. So right. We'll just worry about the players at this point.
So
which is a lot.
There's a lot literally it's been like past 7 days. It almost seems like every day or every other day, like fairly significant news has come with Creighton hoops here. But we got to start with, so we're taping this about, it's about 5 o'clock on, I don't even know, is it Friday? Yeah, it's Friday, April 10th. The big news of the day is Tyshawn Alexander. And I'll just read, so it starts with there's a Jeff Goodman tweet coming down about 10 o'clock this morning that reads as follows. Creighton guard Tyshawn Alexander expected to declare for the NBA draft, and barring a change of heart, his intention is to remain in the draft and bypass his senior season, NBA source told at Stadium. He says a hit to a Blue Jay team that is currently in everyone's preseason top four. And, you know, I think you and I were texting, and we're not surprised that Tyshawn is testing the NBA draft waters. I think everyone expected that. But I do think it is surprising to hear that his intention is to stay in the draft, barring some big change of heart or just some big alteration to what's happening in his life right now. Right. I guess, was that kind of your, like, again, if someone said, yeah, I fully expected Tyshawn to test the waters, but you read that Goodman tweet, and then you even read Tyshawn's statement from the university, and at this point, you'd almost say it sounds like Tyshawn's gone.
Right. And we're slated to hear a little bit more from Tyshawn later tonight. So recording this on a Friday, he's going to talk to some reporters later tonight. So maybe we'll get a little bit of clarity. My sense of it today, after having some conversation with some folks, is that, you know, I don't think Goodman's tweet is inaccurate. He cited an NBA source with knowledge on the situation. So that in that person's opinion, he or she thinks Tyshawn is going to go. But is that exactly what Tyshawn thinks? I don't know. Does anyone really know what Tyshawn thinks? I mean, he could say the same thing to two different people. Sure. And they could be like, oh, you know, one guy is saying, I think he's gone. Another guy says, well, maybe he's going to stay. I don't know. And I don't know if you as a player would want to show your cards or show your hand at this moment in time, because we're early in the process.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It would be a surprise if indeed, you know, for sure, Tyshawn was like, I'm ready to go. But then again, you know, when you kind of really think about it in totality, I was texting with you a little bit in February with the way the season was rolling. Tyshawn Alexander took a jump. He was a surefire All Big East first teamer. You know, like, he had made that improvement as a defensive player. He was still as efficient as ever offensively. It just seemed like he had the look of a player who had accomplished what he needed to in college. Like, he was on that path. And what kind of threw a wrench in it was the coronavirus, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
The coronavirus thing threw a wrench in the whole schedule, because now suddenly you're talking about the draft getting pushed back till August, maybe no combine. If there are workouts, individual first, like in-person workouts, those don't happen until July, maybe, if they happen at all. So all of a sudden, like, the traditional chance for a guy like Tyshawn Alexander, who we would view at this point as a fringe draft pick, like a second round guy potentially.
Yep.
This is the time where he can really make a move. You've seen a lot of guys make moves over the last few years in May, late April, May, but nothing's going on in late April, May. And we don't know if anything will go on like normal, even once the draft is held. So that's why it's a little bit of a surprise that you would see any sort of hey, I know for sure what I'm going to do. And I don't think, again, I haven't spoken with Tyshawn yet, but I don't think you're going to hear that directly from him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, why don't I mean, let me read his statement, you know, because I think it's his statement also. So Tyshawn, through the university, his official statement was, quote, after much prayer and numerous conversations with my family and coaches, I have made the decision to declare for the NBA draft. These past three seasons at Creighton have been filled with unforgettable memories that have allowed me to transform me into the player I am today. My experience at Creighton has also strengthened me into a resilient individual. I am humbled and excited to see what the future holds in my life, and thankful to Creighton University for everything it has done for me. That strikes me as a goodbye, not necessarily a see you later. But again, no one really knows. I mean, Doug tells the story, you know, he tells the infamous story that he was in Coach Mack's office and they were going over different draft boards and what guys were saying and all this stuff. And on a whim, he's like, you know what? Screw this. I'm coming back. I'm done with this. I'm definitely going to come back. And it was made in that instant. So sometimes, you know, nothing's for sure until it's for sure. But I'm with you. I felt like, again, this entire time I thought Tyshawn was going to go test the NBA waters, but I actually felt like this pandemic hitting at the time that it did was going to almost seal that Tyshawn was going to stay at Creighton, because if there's a guy that really needed the pre-draft workouts, the one-on-one workouts, the two-on-two workouts, the combine, it's Tyshawn, because let's be honest, Tyshawn's a guy that needs to do all he can to increase his stock. And with how things are laid out, at least as of right now, everybody's draft stock's kind of frozen as to what it is. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And so, you know, we think about, we don't know what he's thinking. Well, the big thing, and only Tyshawn and I'd imagine the coaches know this, is what did the NBA draft advisory committee say about Tyshawn. You know, like,
yeah.
As much that's right. I just hope Tyshawn. There are so many different ways to look at this here, John. I know I'm talking for a while here, but like, you can look at it from a business and logical standpoint and go, hey, just go off of what the feedback says and all that stuff. Or there's kind of just what's in his heart. And listen, if what is in his heart is he just wants to move on to that next stage of his basketball life, like, I get it, man. I mean, sometimes you're ready to turn the page, even if that doesn't make a ton of business sense. Sometimes you're ready to kind of embark on that new journey, and that might be where he's at.
Yeah, and kind of to an extension of that, because you're right, there's so many more factors involved with this decision than I feel like used to be 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Like, it used to be, if you're not a lottery pick, stay. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, well, if you're not a first-round draft pick, stay. Now, dude, guys are leaving early. And I imagine, yeah, they're hopeful they get drafted, but they kind of know they're not getting drafted, but they're okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that more players are seeing the value of their earning potential. They're like, kind of what you said, their mind frame is sort of set on the idea of, I'm ready to monetize on my skills. Like, mm-hmm. I'm ready to make money now. And I feel like I've accomplished what I needed to in college and made the development that I've needed to. Now let's go attack the pros. I think of a guy like Fred VanVleet, I think of a guy like Kendrick Nunn, guys who went undrafted and now are making money in the NBA, or at least have established themselves in the league. Like, I feel like there's more and more stories like that. There's more and more stories of guys going overseas and then coming back. The G League, you know, like, there's certainly a stigma, I feel like, among fans who are like, oh, you want to go to the G League? But it doesn't seem like players really have a problem getting paid to develop. You know, I just, I guess my thought is that I think that college players, high school players, I think that just the player has altered the way he views that route to
absolutely.
The NBA.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. But it's again, what's hard about this is we don't know what's in his heart. I mean, Tyshawn, like, if Tyshawn was sitting here and he just said, John, Nick, guys, this is the NBA is a dream of mine. I'm ready to attack it. Like, you can't argue with that. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, no. I get it. I totally get it. Now, I do think there are ultimately, though, you got to always kind of view your career also from a business standpoint lens as well. And, you know, you bring up the money, and that's where it's changed. Over the years, the second round picks contracts have changed a ton. It used to be second round pick, you weren't guaranteed anything. Right. John, last year, the first 18 picks in the second round, so pick, 31 through 48, pretty much, all got basically the same deal. 2 years, $2 million guaranteed with a third year option.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I don't know about you. $2 million is $2 million guaranteed. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. But here's the thing is, those last 10 picks and all those other guys that get on you know, a two-way G League contract is around $200,000 to $300,000. There's a big difference between $2 million and $200,000. And these are the kinds of things that Tyshawn, I think, when you bring in business and thinking about, like, he's got to think about that. Because I would say right now, this is just me, I would say right now, like, gun to my head, do I think Tyshawn would be drafted? I don't. I don't think he'd be drafted. Or if he would be, he'd fall into that late final 5-10 picks. And then you're rolling the dice where it's like, now you're signing a two-way contract instead of a guaranteed $2 million contract. And there's a big difference.
So here's my question. What guarantee or chance is there that Tyshawn's stock would improve by staying? Because I think you can make the argument that it wouldn't. You know, I obviously, you know, he's going to get better. You know that he's a hard worker and committed to this team, and they're going to have a lot of success. And as you say a lot, and I agree with you, as you experience team success, individual success comes with it, accolades,
sure.
Attention, hype, all that. But, you know, most players are who they are by their junior year. And the way that the NBA scouts look at it, they're always projecting. So once they have the book on you, once they believe that they know who you are, they don't like go in and edit it. Like that's who, that you're that guy. We think we know who you're going to be at age 25, 26. And it's hard to change their opinion when you're 18. That book is not written yet. And so you'll find teams take chances on those guys because they're what they think is what this guy could be is maybe different than others. So I think viewing it through the lens of the NBA scouts and how they make their decisions, perhaps that's another reason why.
That's a good point, though.
Would go.
Yeah, and I see that both ways. I mean, because like, for instance, I thought that was what the argument you just laid out, I thought was the one of the biggest arguments for Justin Patton to leave. Like, yeah. I thought one of the best things Justin Patton had going for him was his potential. Now, you stay another year, you stay another 2 years, all of a sudden that really, really seductive potential element dissipates a little bit. Whereas someone like Tyshawn, I think that his stock is more fixed in terms of it is what it is. The only thing though is like, at the same time, I also feel like there's something to, you can sit there and be like, and I agree where it's like, you know, the NBA will find you if you can play regardless. Agree. But I also think your name matters. Like he would get a bigger and deeper look from NBA guys next year, in my opinion. He wasn't on anybody's board at all, on anybody's radar a year ago. He is now. And I guess for me, it's like, if you're going to be, like, Creighton's a preseason top five team, it's not crazy to say that a preseason top five team is a Final Four caliber team. Is it crazy to paint a scenario where next year, if Tyshawn stays, next year Creighton goes to the Elite Eight, Tyshawn's the Big East Player of the Year and Big East Defensive Player of the Year? Like, if that happens, to me, I think his stock would increase to being at least one of those guaranteed second-round picks.
I think so, possibly. But I don't know. I don't know, and I think that, I guess what my thought is that I could understand if Tyshawn was like, I get the case you've laid out, but I don't want to bet on that. Sure. I'd rather just make my, whatever it is, $200,000 in the G League, because that's a pretty sizable check.
Yeah, I'll develop. Yeah, right. I know.
And then
I know.
When I get my next, you know, my next paycheck, my next contract, hopefully that's a long one, and that's where I make the money. I would imagine that would be the counter. But again, there's so many ways to go about it. And,
yes.
And I think that, to me, what's interesting is that the sort of draw, the allure to stay in college has dissipated.
Totally.
And so you're seeing more. I texted you the other day, I think it was last year, 44 non-seniors did not get drafted. They entered the draft, and they did not get drafted. 44 non-seniors. So 44 guys with college eligibility.
Right.
Who could have helped their team, who could have made deep runs, who could have improved their draft stock potentially, were kind of like, yeah, I like that idea, but you know what I like better is actually making money and then trying to develop and pursue this goal on the professional scene to dive in right away. And so I think that when you're in a position like Tyshawn Alexander's in, there's really no bad option. I mean, you go back to school and you have a great year with a good team, a bunch of guys you like, or you go pro and you make money.
Right.
I mean, both routes are understandable. So I'm curious to see what he does. I don't know how you felt, Nick, but I was a little – there are a lot of Creighton fans, at least on my timeline, who were shocked.
Yeah.
They're like, why would you ever do this? And I would push back a little bit, is to say it's more and more common for college players.
The paradigm has shifted. You're exactly right. Because like you said a little bit ago, it used to be you only left college early if you were going to be a lottery pick. And at the very worst, a for sure first-round pick. Like, leaving school early to be a second-round pick was almost like, what are you doing?
Right.
And then leaving school early and not getting picked was like, cue up Sarah McLachlan in the arms of an angel and let's all like weep over what's that. Like, now it's kind of like, it's just whatever. Like, you see it happen all the time. And I wonder what you wish you could be like, well, historically do the guys that return, like, does their stock increase that next year? The hard part of it, there probably isn't like a study for that, because it the ultimate variable is involved in that study, and that's a human being. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You just don't know. Like, for every Doug McDermott stayed, and Doug McDermott's draft stock increased. He went from a late first rounder to, what was he, 13th? I think the 13th pick, right. Or the 11th pick. Like, without question, it increased. But I wonder if Tyshawn looks at guys like Miles Powell or Marcus Howard and thinks to themselves, did their stock really change by coming back? Maybe not.
And it might have gotten worse.
It might have gotten worse.
Yeah, Doug was the 11th pick.
11th, okay.
Good old Google.
Shouts out to Google.
told us what's going on. Yeah, and as a side note too, because I was just thinking about this as you were talking about it, a guy like Khyree Thomas, you know, because I've heard from Creighton fans a lot, he's like, well, did he make the right decision because he could have stayed for another year, been the National Defensive Player of the Year, got a lot of accolades, and said he went into the draft and got picked in the second round, and now he's like kind of on
he's
the
grinding.
Fringe roster spot,
right,
you know, like, but my counter to that is like, well, I mean, first off, he just got his degree. So he was able to do that while trying to pursue his dream professionally.
While making $2 million.
Money. Yes. I mean, he's making what I would make in like 15 years.
He's a millionaire. Khyree Thomas is a millionaire.
Right. It's hard to when we're talking about that kind of amount of money that you can sort of cash in on right away, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to come up with a counter argument. At least it is for me.
Yeah. But. And that's why I've always kind of been sure here, like selfishly, because I'm we're going to cover the team and be at all the games and all that stuff. Do I wish Tyshawn would for sure come back? You're damn right I do. You know what I mean? Like, of course I do. Just because I want to see this team as it's currently constructed, get a crack at the NCAA tournament together. You know what I mean? Like, of course I do. But, you know, everyone's at some point in their life, whether you like it or not, like, has to be selfish with their own life, you know? And, like, this is Tyshawn's life. Tyshawn does what's best for Tyshawn, not necessarily what's best for, you know, Blue Jay fan 88 on Twitter that wants to, you know, that wants to watch Creighton beat down that door and finally get to a Sweet 16, you know? And that's why I'll never begrudge guys or look down my nose at guys that want to go get money. You know what I mean? Like I totally get it. But the hard part is like you bring up Khyree Thomas and because like there's been over the past, you know, what is it now, 7 years or so, that Creighton's now had this could be their fourth underclassman enter the draft early.
Mm-hmm.
And I think each are dramatically different. Doug was, or I guess Doug didn't. Doug elected to come back and then played himself into being a lottery pick. Justin Patton decided to leave. I think he was the 16th pick. And the difference is Khyree Thomas's draft stock was higher than Tyshawn's right now. Like Khyree was a fringe first rounder. And if you remember, I think Khyree tweaked his hammy during the pre-draft process, and I think that really hurt him. Like, I actually think if Khyree would have gotten into more workouts and been able to do more, I think Khyree would have been a potential late first-round pick. But so, like, I think of all the draft stocks that we're talking about, from Doug to Justin Patton to Khyree and now Tyshawn's, Tyshawn's is by far the most fringy, even draftable. So it's almost hard to compare him to these other guys.
No doubt. It is, yeah. It is, and you're right about Khyree. And he got hurt after he had already declared and signed an agent.
Yes.
So it was like in June, I think, or late May, right when those workouts are starting to ramp up, right ahead of the draft. And maybe that was one of the reasons that triggered him going later than what was projected by him. I think he was still within the range, technically.
Probably, yeah. I think he was like
pick 20 to pick 40, and he went 38.
Yeah, I thought 23. I, like, for some reason in my mind, I was like 23 to 39 was what I thought I heard or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, he went in his range.
In the range, but very on the bottom of it.
Yes, yes.
But different, as you said, than what I'm sure Tyshawn Alexander is being told. But hey, maybe we'll find out more, and he's going to find out more as he goes through the process, and perhaps he hears some stuff he doesn't like and decides to return to Creighton. We'll
right,
see.
Right. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, man. I mean, I you know, if I was a betting man on April 10th at 5:23, I think Tyshawn Alexander stays in the draft just based on kind of reading the tea leaves and you know, talking to a few people today. But again, you never know. I mean, you never. I mean, the door is still open, and the door is still open for a reason, because I bet Tyshawn doesn't totally know. And you know what? Like, the one thing that gets lost in these conversations is, like, good on Tyshawn, man. Like, this dude worked his ass off. I've always liked Tyshawn a lot as a guy. I think he's always got a very professional approach about him, like a very business-like approach. I don't think I've ever seen a guy improve as a defender over the course of 1 year more than what Tyshawn just did. He's worked his ass off to even have this decision in front of him, and so good on him for that.
No doubt. And I think the other piece that was really impressive about him during the year was his maturation, sort of mentally and as a leader, his ability to kind of, you know, part of it, maybe he was motivated too by the idea or the allure of the NBA and recognizing that I got to do different things, contribute in different ways. But I think also he felt sort of a responsibility to the team to say, like, look, I gotta be better as a leader, as a motivator, as a guy who inspires his teammates and the way that I interact with them, the way that the things that I value and what I'm going to sacrifice to make sure this team achieves what it wants to achieve. Like, he made a jump and grew as a player individually, sort of emotionally and mentally, which was really commendable too. In addition to everything you just said, because as you said, he got better in a lot of ways too on the court.
Okay, the other big news that unfolded today is Davion Mintz is headed to, wait for it, Kentucky. Davion Mintz is grad transferring to Kentucky. It's pretty amazing to say out loud that we're living in a world where a player would leave Creighton to go to Kentucky in the hopes for more playing time. That's just kind of a weird sentence to throw out there. I guess, first of all, I figured Davion would kind of wait to see what Tyshawn decided before making this decision. But I'd imagine Davion's probably sitting there going, well, I can't wait for forever. And if I got this offer in front of me and I like it, I gotta take it. But nevertheless, I was stunned. And I know we use that word too much. Like, I was stunned, shocked, jaw dropped when I saw this news. Were you, I guess? Like, I thought it was more realistic that Davion was going to go to, like, UNC Greensboro or UNC Wilmington to go just be the man than go to somewhere like Kentucky, you know?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I was surprised, as you were. No doubt. I didn't know that that was the route he was going to take. But I guess there's two things that kind of stick out to me about it, the decision to go to Kentucky. I think one, it sort of signals that Davion is thinking, like, I need to get more eyeballs on me. Like, Kentucky's going to have scouts at practice.
Sure.
It's going to be promoting its players in the inner circles of college basketball. Obviously, scouts at games. Like, you go to a place like Kentucky, just think about how connected Coach Cal is, I'm sure, like, throughout the inner workings of the NBA. Like, the idea is, I want to go pro, and Kentucky's going to help me get there. So I think that that's something, as good as Creighton is at producing NBA talent, and you know, what Coach McDermott has done over the last few years is really commendable.
Hey guys, quick break to talk to you about Pella Windows and Doors. And you know, here's the thing, putting in a new door, new set of windows, it's really exciting, it's really fun, but it can be kind of intimidating because you don't even know where to begin. Well, let me help you out. First of all, you got to go with Pella, duh. And with Pella, there are a couple of directions you can go to get things rocking and rolling. Number one, you can schedule a free in-home consultation. It's free. You're going to get a Pella expert out, sit down with you, look at your home, and then they're going to be able to sit down and get a Greg McDermott, Dana Altman, Darren DeVries, Paul Lusk, Jeff Vanderloo, Al Haas, Terrence Rencher type of game plan for you that fits your budget, your home, your wants, your needs. You can go that route. Or, number two, second route, you can get out to the showroom. Showroom's really cool. And sometimes it helps to kind of see the window and see the door and open it and close it, feel it, to get a better feel for exactly what you're going to be putting into your home. So that's a great route as well. Any direction you go, just know that Pella has a variety of products and can provide 100% provide window and door solutions to any home. And you're going to be working with great people the entire time. Give them a call. 402-493-1350. That's 493-1350, or online at PellaOmaha.com. Back to John Niatawa.
It's not Kentucky.
No doubt.
So that reputation like precedes itself. And so I wonder if that was what played into it. And then the other thing, I think he wanted to play point guard. I mean, you mentioned Tyshawn Alexander, and I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't you wait for Tyshawn to find out what Tyshawn's going to do, even though it might linger into the summer if Tyshawn were to leave Creighton, a whole bunch of minutes open up, and you get an opportunity to play your senior year, which is what he wanted. You know, he wanted that kind of big stage senior year, go out with a bang, showcase his skills. You get to do that, but kind of feels like he wants to play point because Kentucky – while it's bringing in a point guard, I guess, just reading a little bit today, their five-star point guard they're bringing in reclassified, so he's a younger guy, and Kentucky's kind of interested, or at least it was interested in the grad transfer market, to get a guy who had experience at the point guard position and could kind of spread the ball around to all its targets and talented players. So I guess that's what he's going to do. You're not going to play point guard at Creighton, obviously.
No, that's Marcus.
Sigurowski's the man. So, yeah. Those are my two takeaways. I was still surprised, but perhaps that was kind of what he was thinking.
Yeah, you know what? It sounds like the NBA thing was the driving force behind this. Like, you know. And my guess was, you know, John Calipari in Kentucky really could dangle that carrot out there. And it's legit, dude. I mean, like, think about it. Creighton hangs giant pictures up on their practice facility for anybody that's even in the league. There's so many Kentucky dudes in the league. They wouldn't have enough space on the wall to do that at Kentucky. You know what I mean? It's like, so it's just different. Like, no one's naive to that. But the hard part about that is, like, you know, and I want to put this delicately. It's like, you know, I mean, there's also an element of like the D word delusion to a certain extent with a lot of these conversations too. Like, I mean, he's the fourth best guard at Creighton. And, you know, he didn't play this year and Creighton had their best season they've ever had. They won the Big East. Like, with that, like, that doesn't, I guess, like, you connect all those dots, you don't think that sounds like a NBA player. You know what I mean? Like, right. And I mean that, like, and Davion's a great kid. He's a nice kid and he's a talented player. But I also think there's just a little bit of head scratching with this of like, you know, the NBA is the driving force behind this thing. And I mean, you're leaving Creighton to go to Kentucky for that. There are elements that I kind of go cross-eyed trying to follow the logic behind that too.
Right. You know, I do agree with you in a lot of ways because it's, you do need to have an element of realisticness. Like, you got to be realistic when you're looking at what you can accomplish and where you stand. But I mean, knowing Davion, he's a pretty confident kid. He's got a lot of family that supports him and builds him up and pumps him with some confidence as well. So I would imagine he's saying, you know what, I'm just going to bet on myself. And he probably at some point, you know, once he decided he was going to redshirt, I think a lot of I've seen some fans sort of theorize that this was like the plan from the get-go. And I don't agree with that. I think that he would have played if he would have been healthy this last year. But once he realized that he didn't know if he was going to be healthy or that he might have to play at less than 100% in January and February, he made the decision to redshirt, and that sort of opened up a new option, a new avenue to pursue. And the allure of it, I guess, pulled him in. So we'll see what he can do. Yeah. I would be surprised if he was an NBA draft pick, certainly. But I wouldn't be surprised if he carved out a pro career somewhere.
Sure. No, he's going to get paid to play basketball.
Yeah,
he's going to get paid to play basketball. I just don't think it'll be in the NBA. And, you know, again, like we said, I expected him, the moment he decided to redshirt and shut it down this year, I was 99.9% sure he was going to do this. He was going to grad transfer. And I figured it was, hey, man, it's, you know, final year. He wanted to go somewhere to be the man, play 25, 30 minutes a game, take a bunch of shots. And he can't do that at Creighton. And I understood that. But the problem is, he can't do that at Kentucky either. Like, if he's going, like, I guess my old thought this whole time when I saw the news, like, if you're going to go to Kentucky, if we're looking at it from, like, just a, you know, you're trying to, there's a part of me that goes, if you're going to go to Kentucky, why wouldn't you just stay at Creighton? But like we said, we go back to that NBA thing of, like, he felt like maybe Kentucky is going to provide more opportunities for exposure, but I don't know. And the option to play point, I guess that's right. Yeah.
Have the ball in his hands and kind of distribute. You know what, Nick? I thought he actually was making strides as a point guard that last summer, like last offseason, junior year into senior year. Like some of the passes he was making in practice, some of the reads he was making, like obviously it was Marcus Zagorowski's job, but he wasn't going to play all 40 minutes every game. So I thought that there was a chance that Davion would step in and run the show at times. And I thought he was going to show some improvement there. So maybe that's that's one of the other things that he's looking for. But like you said, I was certainly expecting him to go to kind of like
I thought he'd go to Wake Forest.
Even if it's a high major or lower level high major, where it was clear that he was sort of the man and could kind of just run whatever, play, do whatever he wants with no constraints. And,
that's what I thought in this case,
he's going to probably have to be a pass first. His role is going to be pretty specific, I would imagine, because of how much talent's around him and how many guys also want to eat. Came there to eat.
Yes. That's the thing. It's like you're coming there. All those guys, every single dude that is putting on a Kentucky jersey next year is there. It's a layover for them. They're trying to get their name called in the NBA draft that next year. And that creates a different dynamic. But it's funny, John, as we're talking about this, we talked about Tyshawn and we've talked about Davion. You know who's a huge disruptor and a huge catalyst behind both these decisions potentially?
What's that?
Marcus Zagorowski.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, you talked about point guard for Davion. You know who's probably has to prove they can play point guard a little bit at the next level? Is Tyshawn. And there's also an element, I wonder if there's some conversations from the NBA people saying, there's some people that need to see you play point guard. And the reality is, again, like we've said, that's Marcus's spot. So it's amazing how I think Marcus is just kind of like a disruptor in the middle of all this. And he's so damn good at that point guard spot that it makes it hard for Davion to showcase what he wants to showcase for the next level. And in some ways, it could even make it hard for Tyshawn to showcase what he wants to showcase to the next level.
Yeah, that's a good point. I thought had they played the NCAA tournament, it would have been a really big opportunity for Tyshawn for that reason.
Huge.
Yeah.
Because I thought he actually did some good things in that first half of the St. John's. I think he had like 4 or 5 assists and was actually like running the show at a fairly high level, Tyshawn, for playing the point. But
he missed some shots.
Yes.
I remember there were a lot of defensive miscommunication things going on with Creighton.
Yeah.
That's what I remember the most. But yeah, he made some nice passes. That's what I was telling everybody when Marcus Zagorowski went down. I was like, the ceiling is lowered for sure. But remember, Tyshawn Alexander played point as a freshman, and he has that in him. And like we're talking about, he might be projected as that at the next level. He might have to slide over and play that spot. So he'd be eager to perform well. But obviously, we didn't even get a good look at that.
So what does – let's say so Davion's gone, and let's say Tyshawn is gone. What's the ceiling now, or how much does that alter next season and what Creighton can accomplish without Tyshawn?
Such a hard question, because maybe can we operate under the assumption that there's no serious injury?
Yeah. Of course. Like, let's just assume everybody's healthy and good. And, Marcus recovers and rehabs and his knee's good and no one gets hurt.
So in that scenario, why can't they do what they did last year? Like, if you think about the way the roster's constructed, certainly they lose Tyshawn Alexander, and that's a huge blow. In many ways, he was sort of their, complete all-around player.
He was the best two-way player, no question.
Two-way player, So that's a blow. But perhaps it means then that Mitch Balick slides over to the two, and you have Marcus Zagorowski and Mitch Balick at the one and the two, and they play 35, 36 minutes a game. Sharif Mitchell will come in and maybe spell them. Maybe you slide Marcus Zagorowski to the two when Mitch sits. So you have those two spots are secured. At center, it's Ryan Kalkbrenner, the freshman. Jacob Epperson gets healthy. He contributes there. Christian Bishop, the year he had as an undersized five, makes him an intriguing option. And maybe he even slides over to the four to take some minutes.
Yep.
He's going to spend all summer, I'm sure, working on that jump shot. And he's been doing it since he's been at Creighton. He just hasn't displayed it in a game yet. So perhaps he gains the confidence of the coaches to play the four. So we're really talking about two positions, the three and the four, and who plays that spot. And right now it's projected to be Denzel Mahoney, Damian Jefferson, and Antoine Jones. And to me, that's a pretty good trio of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Creighton's still on the hunt for potentially adding more pieces. If it doesn't, you know, it's in the mix for a 2020 recruit, Kerwin Walton out of Minnesota, four-star kid, top 100 player. Like, if the Jays weren't able to get him, they would probably attack the grad transfer market really hard and find just like a depth piece to add to that group. But it would look different. The team would operate in a different manner, but I think there's still enough talent there with a guy like Greg McDermott, the way he moved the pieces around this year to find the best version of that Creighton squad. Like, why wouldn't him and his staff be able to move the pieces around with that much talent again next year and find the best version of Creighton?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm with you. Like, they probably, you removed Tyshawn Alexander. Are they preseason top five? Probably not. Are they preseason top five? No, but are they preseason top 15? I would say yes.
Yeah.
You know, like, right. And so I think you see teams all the time that are preseason top 10, like Florida, have a rough year and struggle. And then you see teams that were either, you know, unranked or in that 15 to 20 area, and like they rise up and have a great season. So like, there's no question that, like, on paper, I can't look anyone in the eye and say, oh, they're just as good without Tyshawn. But that also doesn't mean that they are going to fall apart. You know, like, they still have, like, Marcus is their most important player. Mitch is kind of the spirit of the team and really the vocal leader of the team. And then with how much better Denzel and Damian Jefferson and Christian Bishop got over the course of this season, like, that's intriguing. And then I do think, like, Antoine Jones is a really intriguing player. Like, he's got a Big East body. He's 6'6". He's got a unique game. He's actually a pretty good playmaker and passer.
Good in the post.
Yes. Yeah. It's weird. It's like, yes, they're not going to be as highly ranked in the preseason. And I can't sit and tell you that they're as good without Tyshawn. But I also think they could win the Big East and make some noise. Yeah, absolutely. Even without Tyshawn.
Well, I think about it in this way, Nick. It's like, you know, what team that was really good last year brings back everybody?
Right.
You know,
right.
It's college basketball.
Right.
Like, if you're really good, you usually they're going to lose somebody, whether that person was a senior or is now ready to go pro. Like, if you look at the rosters across the country, you know, that's common. It's what's uncommon is to bring back four.
Right.
And that's what Creighton would do if Tyshawn were to leave. So, and this, you were talking about a team that finished seventh in the country. So to me, they're still sort of in that outlier phase of having so much experience coming back. And then you add in, you know, a top 100 recruit and Ryan Kalkbrenner at center and insert Jacob Epperson back into the mix. Now you have some size and rim protection. It changes the way you orient your defense. And then the guy, like you mentioned, Antoine Jones, who I think, man, there were times in the preseason where he was their best player.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he's a good player, man.
You can make an argument in Australia he was their best player. Mitch was scoring a lot.
Right.
I liked his game, but maybe Antoine was their second best player in Australia.
And I think the biggest thing with Antoine will be he'll have to go through what Denzel went through of learning how to fit into the way of Creighton doing things. You know what I mean? Like, and he'll figure that out, you know. It's interesting. It really is. The last thing before we let you run, Alex O'Connell, the other big story of the week. It's just nuts. I mean, it's like, you want to know how Creighton's grown as a program? Just look at the headlines of the last week. It's like Creighton, a player leaves Creighton to go to Kentucky because they want to have a better opportunity for their draft stock. a player leaves, is potentially going to declare for the NBA draft and leave early. And then Creighton gets a Duke transfer. I mean, all this stuff is just effing crazy compared to what things were like 10, 15, 20 years ago. I like Alex O'Connell. I do, man. I always, whenever I watch them play, he was actually a guy that I thought with Zion and RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish, those guys, like I thought he should have played more, to be honest with you, because I think he's a better shooter than his percentage would indicate. I think he's a career like 37% 3-point shooter. But like, John, I've lived in this world of like when your minutes are sporadic and your shots are sporadic and you're playing in 2 to 3 minute increments, it can be hard. But, you know, he's a former top 100 player. He's a good athlete. I think he'll be a good fit. Like, he's a sit one to play one at this point. What do you think of O'Connell?
Yeah, no, I agree with you because
the thing for me is probably just hard to get a great read on him because he did play behind so much talent at Duke and his role was so limited. I went back and watched his high school clips and saw the athleticism. I mean, this dude was like throwing down ridiculous dunks.
He's bouncy. Don't paint him like he's just the white stiff shooter that can't move. Like, this dude is pretty bouncy.
Right. And then I heard some stories about him going, you know, toe to toe with some of the best prospects on the AAU scene. Like, there was a game he had against Colin Sexton in the Peach Jam, I guess, where like, I mean,
anybody who's anybody in college coaching was on the sideline for it, you know, like this huge collection of big names watching. So I feel like those types of players that just have an untapped potential, they come to Creighton and they find a way to realize it. I mean, there's so many success stories of transfers that Coach McDermott and the staff have spotted who maybe are underutilized or just haven't really found the fit, and they come to Creighton and they flourish in this offense, and he seems like a guy that's tailor-made for what Creighton wants to do. So yeah, I'm really intrigued. I guess the other side note too that I'm intrigued by is like, how does he handle the potential immediate eligibility sort of rule change that could happen over the summer. And if indeed that goes through, if he wants to play right away, but that's probably a topic for another day. He's really good get. And as you said, for Creighton to be in the headlines the way it has been,
it's crazy.
I kind of wrote about it earlier this week. Yeah. It sort of signals a new chapter in Creighton hoops history, it seems like.
So, yeah. The only way he'd get eligible is if the legislation changes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And it'd be interesting, especially
if you don't have to do it, right? Like the legislation, the way it's written is like first time transfers
yes.
have the option to.
Yeah. Like, I think if you want it, the way I understand the rule, and again, this is just a proposal, it hasn't gotten passed yet. The way I understand it is that if the first time you transfer, you have the option to play right away if you want. And, you know, you do wonder if let's say Tyshawn Alexander leaves for sure, and this legislation passes. It's interesting. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, because I think he really wants to showcase what he can do. But boy, I tell you what, if you're looking down the barrel of sitting out a year or playing a pretty significant role on a top preseason, top 10, top 15 team, I mean, I could see how that'd be pretty intriguing. Well, but that's going to be one of the biggest things I'm going to be keeping an eye on is what happens with that for O'Connell. But yeah, it's a good pickup. I think it's just crazy, man. Like, you wrote about it. We just laid it out. It's just my, how things have changed with Creighton basketball. All you got to do is look at the last month. You know, about a month ago, Creighton won the Big East regular season title. And then all the stuff we just said, like, it's remarkable how much the program's grown.
It seems like the Jays are doing a pretty good job of capitalizing on the momentum in the moment.
Yep.
We'll see. That's kind of the question that I'll have in a year or two down the road, is like this sort of surge. Creighton's had surges in the past where it's peaked. This one seems like to be at a whole nother level. how do the Jays capitalize on it? And inevitably, you're going to have a little bit of a drop off. How steep is that drop off? That's another question too for the future. Sure. But you're right. Right now, it's like unprecedented times. It feels like for Creighton basketball to finish in the top 10 in the AP poll obviously never happened, and win the Big East, even share it. You know, like they built something pretty special, and obviously now they want to sustain it. So I'm eager to see how they go about it.
I know that's what makes this coronavirus thing frustrating from the basketball standpoint of things. It was like, it feels like Creighton really worked hard to open this window of opportunity. And obviously it can't happen now because the NCAA tournament was canceled. And then now, so that they got this next year where this window feels like it is really open. We'll see what they can, what they can do with it. So what's the next things you're kind of tracking as you're covering Creighton? I mean, just kind of seeing what happens with the recruit from Minnesota, I guess, just
right.
tracking that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, he's okay. probably the next sort of domino to fall, because if he joins the Jays, then perhaps they don't need to be as active on the grad transfer, or I guess the transfer market, because now if a transfer thinks that he's going to become immediately eligible, maybe, you know, if Tyshawn Alexander stays in the draft, maybe that opens up
Agreed.
Sort of the option for that player to say, well, I'll just join you guys right now
and
come on board. So, yeah, there's still, I mean, Creighton has what, 2 open scholarships, 3 if Tyshawn were to leave. So there's a lot of opportunity for the Jays to add some pieces, and obviously they're bringing a lot back. But you know, they're going to be pretty active. They have been active obviously, but you know, one of the things that they haven't been able to sell is playing time.
Yeah.
And, once they get some more certainty with Tyshawn Alexander, they might be able to sell that.
He's Johnny Atawa, covers Creighton, Omaha World Herald. Read his stuff. Listen to him and Chris Hedy on the Half Court Press podcast. John, hey, man, I appreciate you taking some time on a Friday night. Go back to being quarantined and being a dad.
Will do. Good talking to you, Nick, as always.
All right, my thanks to Pella Windows and Doors. If you're thinking about a new window or a new front door, now is the perfect time. Give Pella a call at 402-493-1350 or check him out online at PellaOmaha.com. We will see you next time on the Nick Bob Podcast.
A Parkville Media Production.